Thanks to ExpressVPN for supporting The Instance. If you believe that your data is your business, secure yourself. ExpressVPN will secure your privacy and protect your information. Go to expressvpn.com/WOW and you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. Welcome back, one and all, to The Instance. This is The Instance episode 647. It is Friday, August 20th, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson, and it's The Instance, joined by today, of course, Garrett Weinzierl. Welcome back to the show, Gurk-a-Gurk.
I am Gurk, and I am Herc.
Yeah, you are Herc-a-Gurk, and boy, do you work. What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good. I apparently cannot talk today, so...
Doing just fine.
That's fantastic. Guys, I have great news. We're joined today by a new permanent third chair. What? You saying to yourself, what?
Wait, this is news to me. It's permanent?
It's permanent. It's happening. It's today.
Yes, why didn't you text me?
It's happening today.
You can tell Garrett, right?
Yeah, I thought I did.
I was not told.
I wanted it to be a surprise for Garrett. Actually, I meant to tell you and thought I did.
I thought it was a bit. I'm sorry, Garrett.
Not a bit. Yes, what the hell? I thought we were friends.
Nobody told Garrett. I love that.
I'm sorry.
No, that's mostly my fault. I thought I did, but I obviously didn't. So yeah, Jocelyn is here and she's here to stay. That didn't rhyme. I was hoping it would rhyme. Jocelyn, welcome, and I hope that chair is a nice fit for you. It occasionally has a French guy in it, so I'm just saying it might be a little weird, you know.
I forgot my beret.
Well, I'm just glad to have you here.
Patrick actually legit gave me a beret at a Nerdtacular, and so, I mean, I have it somewhere. I need to find it.
Yeah, I have his flag scarf back here on the skeleton guy. It's hard to see it, but there's always a little Patrick everywhere.
So wait, Patrick's been here so long that he's just a skeleton now?
Yeah, that's it. The actual skeletal remains of Patrick behind me.
La dead.
Well, anyway, I'm really happy about this. So thank you for being here and making it permanent. You know, and we're not going to, you know, have a giant fireworks show about it because we're all old friends and we all know each other for a long time. And you guys already worked together on The Angry Chicken and have for years. So it's like this is just an easy, natural fit. But
since 2013. My goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the word is in. The audience loved your appearance last week, so it only made sense.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It was really fun, and everyone was very, very kind on Twitter, which, you know, doesn't happen that often. So
sure, kindness on Twitter.
What?
Whoa!
Right.
I hope you documented this kindness you're talking about on Twitter because I've never seen it.
I liked and retweeted everything I saw.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, really glad to have you here. We're gonna dive right in. Quick PSA. The Broken Hearthstone thing I put up on auction for charity, we're going to keep that up for one more week or an additional week. Some people had said, oh, I missed it. I still want it. And I said, all right, well, we'll keep it open for another week. So you have between now and next Friday to grab that thing or something in that group. It's over at frogpants.com/store. And if you're interested in grabbing that and having the money go to some really great charities, it's all the information is there, including the charity information. So go check it out. That's frogpants.com/store. To clear my throat, it's now time for this. Let's get to our main topic. I thought this would be a fun one once Garrett suggested it. A couple weeks ago, Garrett goes, you know what we ought to talk about? We ought to talk about why do we keep going back to older games, sometimes newer than old, but old games, mediumly old games, and then play them again, either on a new platform or in a enhanced edition or something's added HD graphics, or now suddenly that game added a bunch of quality of life improvements, or in some cases just a straight up re-release and not much else changed. This seems to be a trend moving forward in all the games that we like, including MMOs. We'll talk about some of those in a minute, but you know,
yeah, I believe the way I pitched it was a quote, why do we get excited about games we've already played the crap out of?
Right. And it was just kind of brought on by a Stardew Valley thing, because you'd heard it was coming to Game Pass.
Yeah, everyone was getting started about Stardew Valley coming to Game Pass.
Right.
I was just sitting here going, haven't we all put about a year of our lives into this game already? Why are we getting excited? And that got me thinking about just in general why I get really stoked about certain re-releases and remasters, and could not be paid to care less about others.
Yeah, and there are some where you go, really? I've done that. Don't need it. And there are others where you hear about it and you're like, I don't know if it's just enough time has passed or what, but you get sort of excited about it. So I listed some examples of recent games that got super hyped re-releases, and some aren't quite here yet, but most of them are out, and mostly to, you know, good reviews. People are happy. They sold a ton, and the more they sell, the more we're going to see these. But Mass Effect Legendary Edition is a good example. I bought it, loved it, played it. Really glad I did. I love what they added to it. There are reminders in that game of how old it is sometimes, but for the most part, I think that was a really good re-release. Tony Hawk 1 and 2. Garrett, you're particularly a big fan of that, right? You like that.
I think this was arguably the best game that came out last year.
Yeah.
Like, that's how good.
Okay, wait, really?
Yeah, he loved it. He's so good. Into it. Yeah. Like, give us the argument. Tell us why you think it's so great, and then Jocelyn will counter-argue why it's not. I'm not saying you think it's bad, but, you know.
Well, no, it's like Tony Hawk is just like in that kind of like realm of games for me, because I'm not a big sports gamer.
Right.
So I just kind of put skateboarding in with like racing and soccer and baseball and, you know, all those other kind of games that EA makes.
Yeah.
Like, it's in the game. Like, so
I'm somewhat.
And I don't play them.
I'm being somewhat facetious, because if I had to like give like a game that just blew my mind and I'm still thinking about it today from last year, it was probably Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
But I mean, it like 2020 was a weird year. Like, there was a lot of shit that was delayed. Fair. Or didn't land. Like, Cyberpunk was a disappointment greater than Warcraft 3 Reforged.
Oh, yeah.
But like, and I personally just don't like modern Assassin's Creed. Like, I don't like the control.
I know.
I'm not saying it's inherently bad. I'm saying I inherently hate it. And so when you change your game to control like that, I no longer want to play your
game. It's 100% a Garrett problem. You've made this clear before. You're not necessarily passing judgment on the direction, because overall it seems to have been good for the series.
Sales. Every time I mention this, people are like, "You're crazy." I'm like, I know, and I am comfortable with who I am. I like old Assassin's Creed, and once they went to Dark Souls esque, like my first Dark Souls controls, I'm out. I don't want to play your game anymore.
My first Dark Souls.
You know what? He's kind of not wrong, though. It kind of is that.
Oh, I know.
I mean, yeah. I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's good. I really like those new games, but it is kind of my first Dark Souls, and now I feel kind of dirty about that. Is that true? It is. It kind of is.
It 100% is. And listen, I don't really care for Dark Souls either, and it's not just because I think it's one of the worst communities in gaming.
Oh.
I get it. Like, I have friends who are not horrible people who love it, like absolutely love Dark Souls, and I'm so happy for them.
Yeah. Shots fired, though, on that community. I didn't know that community was known for its rottenness.
Oh, I mean, it's literally my first gatekeeping. That's the dark.
Oh, yeah. They are really bad at that.
Yeah. Interesting. So
I've avoided like that somehow, I guess. I don't know. I don't play them, and so I guess that's how I avoided them, but I didn't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a minor negative opinion about Last Jedi. I'm going to make this my YouTube career levels of uncomfortable to be around.
Oh, so. Yeah. Interesting. Oh, that's the one, the redheaded the Dark Souls the Jedi game. Is that the one? No. What? You're not referring to that game, right? That EA game. What's that called? Jedi Fallen Order.
Fallen. Oh, no. That's fine.
One's okay. You don't mind when they take some of those concepts and, you know, well, it's Star Wars too, which you love unconditionally. So
everyone loved that game. That was a fun game. Yeah. No, like it was just a weird year. Like, there were some hit games that are like not my jam, like Valhalla. And then there were a bunch of delays. There was stuff like Cyberpunk that didn't land. Doom Eternal was kind of mixed reviews, depending on if you liked the previous one or not.
Yeah.
So like Tony Hawk for me just kind of came out of nowhere. Mm. And because of the fact that it's a remake, I wasn't really thinking about it. Yeah. And then of course I saw a trailer and it played Goldfinger Superman. suddenly I was like, no, I'm a sucker for nostalgia. Okay, I guess I'll pick this up and try it out. And, you know, I was expecting to kind of like, oh, yay, this will be a fun little weekend thing. But like, damn, if it wasn't just a really tight experience.
Mm-hmm. It was really, really good. Vicarious Visions, in charge of that remake. Many had hoped that they'd go on to do 3 and maybe 4 or maybe one of the undergrounds or something. But they got scooped up by Activision Blizzard and are now working on Diablo 2 and probably will never work on the Tony Hawk remakes again. I don't know. But the point is, that thing nailed whatever nostalgia you had for the series. I ended up getting it and really enjoying it as well. And I wasn't sure why. Part of it was the gameplay was always really tight and really awesome. And now it looks good. Like, looks really good. Especially one. And, you know, having played two, I think, on a Dreamcast, it was already prettied up a little bit by then. But Tony Hawk 1 is some fugly business on the PS1. And this is a massive improvement. So while thinking about this list and going through this in my head, I wondered to myself, how much of this is graphics? How much of this is more than that? Or what is enough to make that hype real for people? So, Jocelyn, I would ask you, if you found out your favorite game from yesteryear, whatever game it was getting this treatment, what do you expect out of that? Is there a standard expectation today, or is that just wrongheaded and we should just accept whatever they give us?
Well, I think for me, it really comes down to the wording that they use around it. So if you're talking about a remaster, then normally what I'm expecting out of that is just, you know, updated graphics, like everything else exactly the same, just graphics. But when you start talking about like remake or reforged or, you know, those type of words, Then I'm starting to think, OK, now you're going to look at things about your systems that weren't great and maybe make some of those quality of life changes. It gets a little bit like weird when you start thinking about like Mass Effect Legendary Collection. Like, what does that mean? Yeah. That doesn't tell me anything. Yeah. And same with the Skyrim, the one that was announced yesterday, which is the bringing it to next gen and everything else, like the 10th anniversary edition. Like, okay, so it's been 10 years. Is that 10? You're going to update it to now, or we're just making it work on consoles? Because those are two different things, right?
Yeah.
And so it really comes down to the expectations the company lays out. Now, thankfully, the Mass Effect group was very forthcoming with what they were working on and what they were doing and sharing not only the updates to the graphics, but also like side by side shots of like old UI, new UI, and, you know, like talking about the control changes that they made, although the Mako was still a pile of trash.
Yeah, still bad. A little less floaty, but kind of terrible. Yeah, it's not great. Yeah,
it was like day one trash where it smells, but it hasn't been sitting in the sun at least for half a week.
Yeah,
whereas the Mako like 2 week old trash.
That's a good comparison. Yeah, it was day old trash, but
The combat though, like I remember the combat in ME1 being also kind of barely acceptable. And I found myself having a surprisingly good time with Mass Effect.
Yeah, combat. And they tweaked a bunch of that out, which is good, and made it better. And, you know, there's a lot of quality of life changes there, but you're right, the name doesn't really tell you that. But the experience I had with it, you know, with full HDR support and I played it in 4K and it just looked gorgeous, ran beautifully at, I don't know, 120 frames per second or some crazy frame rate, and it was quite the experience. In the case of, you know, Tony Hawk 2, you're more just kind of core gameplay. You just mentioned that Skyrim re-release, which is like we were trying to count on core. It's like the 8th or 9th version of the game,
at least
something like that. Yeah, they should have done an even 10 just to be the 10 years, but they didn't do it. But anyway, the PS5 and the Xbox Series X version of the game, and presumably an updated PC version, because this will supposedly take advantage of some ray tracing and some other stuff. And the current enhanced edition on PC doesn't do that. But they did add something. Jocelyn, how excited are you that they put fishing in Skyrim?
Oh, it's going to be so much fun, except that I'm not going to play Skyrim because we talked about it last week and ESO is better. So if you want Elder Scrolls, go play ESO.
That's right. You know what?
Fired on today's episode.
I hate to say this because Skyrim's one of my favorite games of it's all time, crazy. But I think she's right. I think ESO is a better Skyrim, or it's a better evolution of the Elder Scrolls games than in any of the frequent or the most recent single player ones. And that doesn't mean that 6 can't be incredible and blow our minds. It could.
I'm sure it will be. I think it's going to be great. Like, but I mean, it's been 10 years now. Uh-huh. Like, and how many times, like you just said, how many times they've re-released Skyrim? Like, how many times have you played through that game? I've probably put like 600 hours into Skyrim because I've played it over and over every time they re-release it. Like, I'm not doing it this time. Yeah. Not even for fishing.
The only versions I didn't get were VR, and I didn't get the Switch version I didn't get. I was tempted and I never did it. But yeah, like, you know, there's not a lot to add. So they did make a point of saying we're adding fishing. So it's the only functional, like, mechanical thing being added to the game. And that will go into, you know, some of your cooking and your crafting in the game. But ESO already has fishing, so go fish there. Go fish in ESO if you're going to fish. Anyway, so that's a thing.
You got to do something, right? You got to do something.
It's funny that these just got announced, and Garrett's idea is as fresh as, you know, like yesterday, that Quake Enhanced Edition happened out of nowhere. I love Quake, by the way. Huge fan all the way back to the original. I have all sorts of stories about Quake in my life. And that game is all about graphical improvements, and then a new campaign added to the single player thing that was designed by the guys that did one of the Wolfenstein games, recent ones. So that was added to it, and they added some lighting stuff, of course, widescreen 4K, uncapped frame rate, all that stuff to Quake. Like, it's just straight up Quake. It's old ass Quake. And also, I didn't have to pay for it because they did it to your existing version. If you already own this thing, it just did it. And if you buy it on consoles, you'll cross-play with PC people and Switch people. So it's all cross-play. I played against some multiplayer last night against some console people and just wrecked their souls, destroyed them, sent them crying back to the place from whence they came. And it was great. And I loved every second of it. But yeah, like, this stuff's popping like crazy right now. So another reason I think this is a pretty good topic. Another good example, like Nintendo re-releasing stuff on the Switch happens all the time. The Wii U also had a couple of these, and I really wish they would. I wish they would have not put Wind Waker on the Wii U and just held it for the Switch, because I would really like to play Wind Waker right now.
Yes, you know? I have a sin. I've never beaten Wind Waker.
Oh, that is a sin.
And I was really, really excited when the Switch was announced. I'm like, finally, I'll get that Wii U version and play it on the Switch, because I'm one of the majority of humans in existence that didn't buy a Wii U.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, the one time I want Nintendo to actually be lazy and do a re-release, they don't freaking do it.
Yeah.
Like Skyward Sword. I'm like, no, nobody likes that one. Stop it. Put that one back.
Yeah.
Give me Wind Waker on Switch, please.
I would trade Skyward Sword for Wind Waker like right now. It's not a problem.
Those Joy-Cons are amazing, though.
Yeah. They are pretty good, right? For the Skyward Sword ones?
Yeah.
Because Skyward Sword was based on the Wii.
I haven't seen these. Did they come out with Skyward Sword?
They are, but they also work. The whole point is they work a million times better than the Wii controllers did back in the day. And so if you want to play it with motion in mind, it's like the game can finally be played the way they envisioned it. And everybody who's played it that way loves it that way.
It's still not great.
Yeah,
it's still Skyward Sword motion controls, which were kind of.
Yeah, it's not.
I don't want to play any game with motion in mind, but.
Well, when Nintendo does this, right? They're like, "Hey, we got a new console, and it has a certain gimmick, and so now we're going to cram our big IPs into making sure it uses whatever that gimmick is." And that's my main problem with like the two Mario Galaxy games. They are amazing games, some of the best Mario has ever been, but it's got that stupid waggle. Chase around the stars thing with the extra Wiimote. I hate it so bad. Like, just take it. I don't even know if those new remakes take it. I assume they do take it out of there because they can play it on a Switch Lite. But, you know, I don't like when they do that. So the current, like, whenever they re-release in some future world where they re-release Super Mario Odyssey, we won't have to worry about any of that. The thing will have a controller and it'll just play because Odyssey didn't have any weird gimmicks other than the hat, but that was a game gimmick. It wasn't some stupid controller that I had to deal with. So anyway, Nintendo has to see this is an interesting twist on all this stuff. Like, if you're going to bring a game back, Nintendo has these issues to worry about, because when they first released it, it was for a weird console that had Wii motion controls. And then later they got a weird screen thing that you touch. Well, how do you make that work on your next generation thing? And do you have to continually have those same gimmicks while you add new gimmicks to make these re-releases work? Like, that's a mess the way that works for them, but whatever, people buy it and no one cares. They all, have you noticed that they don't seem to have any trouble reselling anything that they put out again.
Yeah, I hated Skyward Sword the first time through. I might have gotten to the first dungeon and I was just like, I just hated it. The motion controls were awful and I didn't play it. And then re-release.
Did you what? Say it again.
The tutorial for that stupid beetle thing. I was just like, I'm done. I get it. We can move on, please.
I don't remember the beetle. Was it bad?
Yeah, you had to like fly it through like little areas and stuff using the motion control, and it was just awful.
Oh, it God, sounds it so sounds bad. bad. You've convinced me, and I don't remember it at all. But it sounds like it's bad.
I did not care for it.
Not your favorite.
It was terrible.
Another good
example. And I still gave them a gajillion dollars for the remake because I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And I'm sure they fixed it now. They didn't.
They didn't fix it.
And also, just, got my money all over again.
The way you move that game, or the way you control in that game when you're not using motion control, is also really dumb. You have to hold down a shoulder button to then use the other stick to control the camera.
Yeah.
And you can get used to it. But it feels like you're committing a crime against humanity. It doesn't feel right ever. Never feels right. So anyway, that game, whatever. It's got its moments. Yeah. I kind of like its art style. Beyond that, what are you doing? Let's see. Age of Empires 2 is a good example I played recently. I forget how good that re-release is. They were really true to the original, but all of the bells and whistles you expect from a game like that. Diablo 2 Resurrected is, jury's out. It's not out yet. Although, hearing about the beta, the biggest complaint I heard was massive lag. The game requires an online connection to play it, which the original Diablo 2 did not. So people are kind of all up in arms about that. But we'll see. And Vicarious Visions, of course, on that project. So I have a feeling the things they're good at will be there and will shine. And maybe some of the back end stuff will be either ironed out by then or poorly implemented. We'll have to wait and see. The one I wanted to mention, though, because our pal John Jagger's streaming all of these, is the Pixel Perfect Final Fantasy Collection stuff. I don't know if either of you are Final Fantasy fans, but apparently if you are an old school FF fan, these are like amazing, like incredible return to form, updated, look good, blah, blah, blah. Not really my thing, but if you're into Final Fantasy old school, it sounds like that new collection's pretty rad. So maybe check that out. Garrett, I know you like the Halo Master Chief Collection, another good example of a successful.
I love it in the show notes. You have this under recent. That was 2011 when the first remaster came out.
Whoa, really?
What?
No.
The remaster of Combat Evolved was 2011.
Oh, I'm thinking of, but the Master Chief Collection stuff started in the Xbox One generation, which was post-2013, though, right? I'm not thinking of that wrong, am I? I can't be.
2013 was still, like, 8 years ago, Scott.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
The Master Chief Collection was 2014, but see, the Combat Evolve, like, remaster was 2011.
Gotcha.
Which is what I think of as kind of the beginning of all of this.
And it's all in the same pack now, though, right? Like, if I go get this,
Halo 1 might be my most replayed game.
Oh, really?
So this is one that like sticks in my memory because I remember being very excited, and now the remaster graphics don't hold up very well, and I kind of want a remaster of the remaster.
Would they take like infinite graphics and make it look better or something?
That'd be great, please. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I would buy that. Take my money, please.
They won't even pay for it. It'll just be on Game Pass. That's the best part. You'll just get it.
That's a good point. Yeah, I've got a few years of that still. already paid for.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's there's like you already started to get into, Joss. Like, I think there's a very clear divide between remasters and remakes. And so for it's like a remaster. My first thought is like, well, do I have any nostalgia for this to begin with?
Yeah.
If yes, then I might be interested. If no, then it's like, well, how much of a cultural touchstone is this? And do I feel like I missed out? And then there's all these factors, I think, that go into making a remaster good or bad. And I think a core part of it, which is why I think Tony Hawk worked, is like, if we're not changing the way it controlled, did it control well? Like, does it hold up by modern standards? And I think Tony Hawk, yes.
Yeah.
I can't really articulate why I think Mass Effect is kind of a personal preference, because I think it's kind of clunky, but I still like it. I like clunky third person shooters. They don't bother me.
Yeah.
That was kind of my heyday of gaming, was like Gears of War, Mass Effect, at the same time I was spending too much time on World of Warcraft.
Do you just need it just needs to feel right? It doesn't have to necessarily look all that different. You just need it to, like, that chunky shooting you're talking about, that just has to be good shooting, right?
Yeah, I don't mind my characters controlling like tanks.
Yeah, that's fine with me too. I don't mind it. So, all right. The other thing, I wanted to read this from a listener real quick. I put out the question the other day asking people some of their examples of what they like or don't like about re-releases, that sort of thing. Barry Pockris on Twitter said, updated graphics for games that have aged badly. is what I like. Mostly games from the N64 PSX era. These games look bad by today's standards, but Tony Hawk Pro Skater was perfect for this. Otherwise, I would prefer a faithful adaptation that only changes absolutely necessary issues with the game. So it is an interesting part of the history of gaming because it was, I don't know, it was a weird time. Like prior to the 3D, the jump into 3D with PlayStation, Saturn, you know, early 3D, and even on PC, was right before that we had beautiful pixel graphics and they were amazing and they hold up today. They still look good. You can go play Super Mario World and have a great time and never once go, boy, these graphics sure don't hold up, because it's just kind of timeless and it works whenever you play it. These games, not so much. PlayStation 1 games look terrible by today's standards. And it's not any kind of judgment. That's just where we were. And I'm afraid to say it, but as remakes and as nostalgia goes, we may have some fond feelings of games from that era, but none of us want to look at that stuff much longer. We don't want to sit there and see a faithful adaptation of, you know, jittery, crappy polygons that everything clips through and, you know, gives you a headache. So I think anything from that era gets the Tony Hawk treatment, and anything prior to that, they stay true to those graphics. They may touch them up or, you know, enhance them or something, but pixels still work. And then I think there's a ton of stuff PlayStation 2 and forward that still looks good for its era, but could be bumped up to look even better and bring it closer to today's standards, and it would work. But there's that weird, ugly hole, that PlayStation 1 period, where none of that stuff looks good, man. You're never going to go, Battle Arena Toshinden, you still look like shit. Nice work. Like, no one's doing that. At least I wouldn't be doing that.
How have we not had remasters of, like, the classic GTA games, like all the GTA 3?
That's coming. Did you hear about this?
I did not hear about this. Is that coming?
Yeah, last week.
I think it's been long enough since PS2. Like, you know, I never beat Metal Gear Solid 2, and I've never been a huge MGS fan, but I loved the last one. Like, I really, really liked it. So, like, if they came out with a MGS 2 that, you know, didn't look like a game from 2001, I would be very interested in playing it.
Well, here it is. 2022 Grand Theft Auto Trilogy Remastered. That means you'll get Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, hopefully all the soundtracks. This is important. I hope they're working on that.
That's going to be a licensing nightmare, but you know who has a lot of money?
Rockstar has a lot of money. They print it every day. Yeah, they have GTA Online literally is a money printing machine that they own, so they can just keep printing money. Anyway, and then the San Andreas
machine in GTA Online, by the way, I believe that's an in-game item.
Yeah, no, a money printing machine is like one you can get in the game. That's fantastic. I'm all in on that. Anyway, that'll include San Andreas as the third game, and they're all real ugly and could use a facelift, and I would play the shit out of them. So, but again, see, look at this. Look how prescient your concept for today's topic was. Everybody's doing re-releases and they're all announcing them like right around the time you said, hey, we should talk about this. I don't know, Garrett. It's impressive.
Yeah.
Does this happen on the Angry Chicken, Jocelyn? Is he ever like, this card's going to be a thing? And then it is. And he's like a prophet. Like, how's this work over there?
Every once in a while, it happens.
It's rare. I was very correct about a weapon like three expansions ago. That was about
it. And he will not let me forget it.
Well, I had to deal with Life Drinker for 2 full years while it was in standard.
That's true. Community. That's true. Yeah.
That's amazing. All right. Then there's MMOs. I would use some examples. Old school RuneScape, having a bit of a good time right now. EQ1 still does better than 2. Both games are running, but
I mean, it would be hard to do worse than 2.
Yeah, 2's a sad story. But people are still playing it, so that's out there. Of course, there's WoW Classic as a prominent example. This is a literal bringing back of an old product. And
this is one where I was legitimately nostalgic for the old graphics.
Right.
But if you told me we're doing WoW Classic and it's going to look better than ever and we're redoing all the graphics, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll play that. Please. Thank you.
Yeah, I would. Well, again, like your Halo idea where there's like a switch and you just click it and now you're looking at the old stuff for fun, but then you can see the new stuff like they're going to do with Diablo. I would like
that. I tried the Diablo beta last weekend and I didn't know that was a button, and I didn't play Diablo 2, so I didn't know how to play it. So I was just smacking buttons to see what they did, and I accidentally hit that button. I was like, oh my God, Diablo 2 is the ugliest.
It's really old. It's old, man. It's old. It's like, you know, when that game launched, it maxed out at 800 by 600 resolution. You couldn't go higher.
You remember when we were at the height of sprites and sprite based games are still beautiful? Yeah. That is not true of Diablo 2.
No. No, but also the world was transitioning to 3D stuff, especially on PCs. And at the time, they were just resolute and making sure they stayed with this 2D pre-rendered graphics thing. And I don't think it looks great. Now, what they're doing with it now is a 3D, and it's like a 3D overlay. Everything's 3D on top of it, preserving the gameplay, but, you know, using all these modern techniques to make it look better. It is strikingly different. And I like when games do that because you forget, like, I hope the GTA thing does that because I'm going to forget how that looks after a while. And I'll just think, oh, this is a slightly updated Vice City. But then I'll switch back and go, oh, my shit. This is a lot more than that. You know? So anyway, we'll see how that goes. But anyway, MMOs are interesting part of this discussion, given the fact that they are just now hitting that maturation point where you could say something's classic. You know, like they're meant to be ongoing living worlds, and they all are. But they've become classic in their own way. I've been playing, I've been messing around with Guild Wars 2 along with my time in ESO and realized that both those games are almost as old as each other. 2012 for Guild Wars 2, 2014 for ESO. That's now long enough to say, yeah, those are venerable products that are now in kind of their own classic status. And someone has nostalgia for launch day for those games in a way that you would have for an old game you haven't played in years or on some old console. So I don't know. It's just an interesting twist, you know, in this whole remaster world we're in right now. Then there are times.
Oh, go ahead. 10 years or older. Is that where we start longing for a re-release or something?
Think of it like, oh, what's a good example? Let's say the year is 1995. Okay. If something came out in 85, that definitely feels like a long time ago. You know what I mean? Like, that's a long 10 years. Big changes, lots of stuff. I think it's just time compresses now, or it feels less like 10 years matters as much. But yeah, I think 10 years is your limit. Like, look at the Skyrim hype right now.
We've gotten to a point where graphics are kind of incrementally improving, right? Like, once we hit 3D, like, it was some pretty big leaps in polygon count and texture quality and whatnot, but we're really just kind of fine-tuning at this point.
Yeah, I would agree. And like to Skyrim's, you know, speaking of Skyrim still, if you just played it on some screen, you'd still go, wow, that's a big immersive world.
Like I get excited about the features of ray tracing, but my God, trying to describe it or explain it to anybody, it's like, yeah, I'm giving an art class on how shadows work.
Yeah. Do any of you ever have to explain to your parents or anyone in your life what you do? Like podcasting, it's like explaining.
Oh, only every time I see them, you know.
Yeah. It's the worst.
Yeah, it's bad, right? I have to do it this weekend with a party of a bunch of old people, and they're going to all say, "Now, what is it? Now, what? Now, what is it you do? Now, what? Now, what?" They're going to ask like that all day, and I'm going to be going, "It's like the radio. Just I can't tell you what channel though. I gotta go. Like it's, it's bad."
The last event I went out to for gaming was a preview for a Hearthstone expansion, and I had to explain podcasting to younger Twitch streamers.
Mm.
And that was the first time I think I was called a boomer unironically.
Mm. Yeah, we're kind of in this really weird group, right? Yeah. It's like we've got like people who don't understand the internet older than us, and then people who understand the internet and do it way differently who are younger than us. And the podcast is in this really weird space in between.
Yeah.
No one around us understands us at all.
Yeah, we're just an anomaly.
Scene in Back to the Future 2 where Marty's in the future diner and there's an arcade cabinet, and he shows the two kids, one of which is Elijah Wood, I believe.
Oh my.
How to use this light gun shooter. And the kid goes, "You mean you have to use your hand? That's like a baby's toy."
Wow.
And that's just how I feel. Because I'm like, no, I'm cool. I'm hip. I'm with it. I make content on the internet. And TikTokers are like, what the shit is it? You have to go on iTunes? What is iTunes?
You talk for an hour?
Yeah. In fact, they don't even know.
Patience for that.
Yeah. They might even know that it's no longer called iTunes and that we still say that because we're in the habit of saying it, and that makes us seem old as well. So welcome to Oldcast.
Like, oh, iTunes. Yeah, the thing my dad used. I'm like, oh my God.
I know, dude.
Oh my God.
It's true. My kids were like 5 and 6 when iTunes was like at its height of the name recognition. They're old now. Yeah. So
yeah. So other than
how long is too long?
Impending knowledge of our own mortality. Let's talk about remakes, because we've mostly been talking about remasters. When do y'all get stoked about remakes, and like what kind of expectations do you have for them?
Well, I can tell you that I never even cared for a second about Final Fantasy VII overall, and because I think that game is both ugly, old, and I don't like how it worked. I know people have reverence for that game and the series, but that game in particular, VII, holds a special place for people.
I was going to say, I think Bo's going to come through the internet at you.
I know, he may murder me. He loves that thing.
Like,
I'm
one of those two. I missed Final Fantasy VII entirely. I didn't have a PlayStation.
Yeah.
I had an N64, and then I went to PS2, and I was to me, Final Fantasy X was okay.
Like, yeah, X was all right. VII is, you know, VII thematically is actually always seemed really cool to me, but I just never did it for me. Along comes that remake, and I think that is a proper ass remake. Like, that is a very cool take, and I am suddenly all interested in playing that entire thing. So once in a while that'll happen where it's like a complete redo, and that to me is more interesting than just slightly better graphics or whatever, especially in that particular case. But it changes a lot. Combat's real time. It's like a third person, you know, almost action game. Gone are the turn-based stuff. Gone are the random encounters. Like, some of the stuff I hate about the original game are gone, but it's also stuff that people love about the series. So I think that's just a really risky, hard thing to do. And I think they pulled it off. You know, some do better than others. I think this Diablo 2 thing is shaping up really nice. I think Warcraft 3 Reforged is garbage and the worst thing that ever got released on PC in the last 5 years. Just really, really bad.
Yeah, I think of that as a remaster, though. And that one's interesting because that's like the opposite of Tony Hawk for me, because I'm like, oh, the controls don't hold up.
Yeah,
as it would turn out, because like I've played StarCraft 2 and that's just a better RTS from a control perspective.
Yeah. And I know, and I realize there's some people out there who didn't have love for Warcraft 3 in its, you know, original form or whatever. But
oh, yeah, there was concern about heroes like when it came out. People were like, wait, what do you mean there's a hero unit? I just want to box select my units and Zerg rush people with orcs.
Right. That's that's true. Hey, y'all. How do you feel about your data? You think it's important? Do you like it? Do you like your data? Well, you should. I mean, data is important. It's like kind of all we have these days, right? Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like, I don't know, taking a call on a train or a bus on speaker so everybody can hear you. Don't be that person. That's weird. ISPs know every single website you visit. I think you probably know that. ISPs can sell that information to ad companies and tech giants, and then they get to use your data to target you. You're the product. Did you know that? Well, ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so people can stop peeping on you online. Fire up the app, click on a button, and you're on your way. Rated number one by CNET and The Verge, and it works on phones, laptops, even routers, so everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. What do I love about it? It's ease of use. That's everything with a service like this. How easy is it? Launch it, click it, you're in. That's how easy. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/WOW today. That's expressvpn.com/wow, and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/wow. Actually, I've never heard. Jocelyn, what was your take on Reforged? Did you care about that at all when it hit? Was that a game you were into or looking for?
I was really super excited about it just from a WoW lore perspective, because I just completely missed it. Like, this was not my jam. I wasn't a Blizzard fan like way back in the day or anything else. So when they were going to do Warcraft 3, I was like, oh my God, this is where like all the big things happen, right? Like, this is like old school WoW lore. This is where we learn all the big things. Like, this is where the Lich King comes from. Yeah. This is a big deal.
Right.
And I think I got maybe like 3 or 4 levels in. And like Garrett said, because I do really like StarCraft 2. I was just like, I struggled with the controls so much. And I was like, the same company makes an RTS that works really well. Why didn't they just copy paste those controls over into this? Yeah. And I mean, like we talked about the graphics button and having the ability to switch back and forth. And I think this is where companies can really take advantage of making, like doing a remake as opposed to a remaster, is if they already do something else or like better, like if they know how to do it better, give people the choice. Be like, hey, this is the straight up control port option here, or push a button and you can play it like this other game that we make that is the same but better. Mm-hmm. And or newer, I should say, because some people, you're right, Scott, like when we were talking about the MMOs, some people are going to have that crazy nostalgia for the very specific way that they played with all of the jank and all of the imbalance, and they're going to want to play that again. And then some people like me who didn't experience it the first time around are going to go, I really want to see this story and be part of this world, but I don't necessarily want to play with stupid jank when we can do it better now. So like there's that kind of line that anyone who's looking at doing like a remake has to kind of walk. Yeah. And I think that, you know, when it comes to graphics or controls, there is potentially this pretty easy fix. Like if you start talking about changing things like stories or quests or, you know, all that kind of more core game stuff, like if they're like, oh, there's just this stuff that we really wish that we'd written differently, then that's where I start to kind of go, maybe don't change that. But I know people have that maybe don't change that feeling about graphics and controls as well. So yeah. I mean, the more things that you can do to give your players options, I think the better off you'll be. And then the more people will say, hey, you should go try this remake instead of, you know, what happened to Warcraft 3 Reforged, which is nobody give them money ever. That was terrible.
It's abysmal. It was a failure on every level. I it's funny. I was playing that Quake enhanced thing and I'd forgotten just how floaty and speedy and weird and slippery the controls are. First person shooters have really changed over time and they've gotten very precise and the movements are nuanced and, you know, the head bobbing and the weapon off to the side, not in the center, and just like a lot of things we didn't know yet because Quake was new and groundbreaking and changed the world as far as 3D shooters went. But there's been a lot of iteration and you forget just how much. So when you go back to something that old and you play it, you realize, oh, yeah, this would be so much tighter if this controlled like a modern or more modern Quake game or a more modern, Unreal Tournament or something that just.
I want a GoldenEye. I want a GoldenEye remake.
Yeah, dude.
They've tried it so many times and binned it.
Yeah, it just keeps getting tossed. But there's a pretty good Half-Life mod that's the whole game, basically.
That's is that one good?
Yeah.
I remember seeing that and thinking, like, all Half-Life mods, like, yeah, oh, that looks cool, and then never plays it.
Yeah. to me, the thing that's the hardest to, and maybe this gets to the crux of the entire conversation today, the hardest thing to create is the experience you had at the time you were having it. And GoldenEye, maybe of all these things we've talked about, is maybe the most perfect example, because that game was so much more than just I'm playing a game and I'm shooting dudes and I'm doing stuff. It was the first time where you really felt like, at least in single player, that you were being put in the shoes of James Bond himself and you were doing really cool spy shit, and the music matched, the sound matched. It was really something special at the time. It looks like total butthole now if you go look at it.
But oh, yeah.
At the time we thought, oh man, look at this. It's so atmospheric and everything and whatever. Multiplayer
games will never look better than these square heads.
Right, exactly. But then like multiplayer was unheard of on consoles with controllers and first person shooters. And so this game somehow managed it, but it also did split screen, which meant people did wacky stuff like putting cardboard splits on their TV, which I did because I didn't want people seeing what I was doing, you know? So I put that up. It was fun to play that way with my
friends. Especially when you had the flag and you couldn't use your gun and you had to go hide.
Yeah.
And you just ran around with this flag like a crazy person.
Yeah.
A lot of that, too, though, was like, you know, getting a shooter to work on a console back then. Like, at the time, it was amazing. But you go back and try and play it now, like, GoldenEye controls like butt because the N64 controller is terrible.
Yeah.
loved it. Some of my fondest gaming years. If I was going to get a really cheesy console tattoo, it would be the N64. But like, oh boy, it don't hold up.
No.
And so yeah, that's the kind of game that's like absolutely ripe for a remake.
It would be an amazing remake. And what they need to do is do it in like a modern engine with all the trappings of a modern engine. Don't try to take the thing and upscale it. I don't need that. But make GoldenEye as faithfully as possible, but skinned in a modern game.
Mm-hmm.
Give me internet multiplayer, Like, go all the way with that game. That game needs to be, I think, like Final Fantasy VII's level of go all the way. Don't just make,
play up the optional stealth side of it even more, because that was a thing that some of the levels sort of had. Like, you could run through with a silencer, and if you're really good, you would never notify the guards to your, like, the fact presence. That you're there.
Yep.
Yeah. And like, oh, just like really ham that up.
Yeah.
Go hard into that direction of it. I would play the crap out
of it. I know, right? I think we're ready for this. This is whoever, you know, no one's listening that matters, but if they listen and heard us say this, and they all, whoever owns that IP right now, now's your time. Okay, quit dinking around, get to work, make that happen. Here's another note from a listener. Tanner wrote in and says, replied to this tweet and said, I just think of new platforms, taking advantage of new technologies like ray tracing, etc., and maybe remastered music are what I look for. So that's an interesting take. I also like this one from Scott Bodenhammer, who says, I get excited when a remaster makes a game look as good as I thought it looked 20 years ago. I feel like that kind of happened last week with those Diablo 2 cinematics. Because when I watched them, I went, yeah, these are what I saw. This is what it is. And then you see them back to back, and you're like, oh my gosh, no, that is not what I saw 20 years ago. It's not even close.
Their faces look like they were melting to move around. Like,
yeah.
They were like wax faces, and they were applying heat to make the lips move. That's what the old cinematics look like.
Yeah. Here's a great one. Denny HW says, in many ways, the systems and gameplay of these older games were just really good. If you can bring back those features with updated graphics and music, it's a winner. Not to mention the nostalgia and the fun playing the games that we all played as teenagers together again. Yeah, I mean, I actually am more and more, I'm all about the mechanics feeling right and less about how it looks. So you can definitely make it look better. It's 2021. We're well past any need to slow down on that front. We can make it look as good as we want it to look. If all you're relying on is looks, then that usually tells me the gameplay wasn't all there to begin with. So if the gameplay's still solid, dude, go for it. Like, I couldn't tell you how many hours I spent in Micro Machines on the PlayStation 1. That game, dude, holy shit. Hours and hours a day. I loved it so much. And I would play that again right now if it didn't look like ass.
There's one that has been delayed that's being made right now. Should have came out in January that I'm actually a little afraid of, because it is a remake of one of my all-time favorite games, which is Prince of Persia Sands of Time.
Oh yeah,
I got the remake of that looks concerning.
Oh really?
It is straight up called Sands of Time Remake, so they're using the term remake.
Yeah,
even though it kind of looks more like, it looks like it controls and plays exactly like the old game, which I think still holds up. I happen to have played it on the GameCube, as the console I had it on. But that is one of my all-time favorite adventure games.
Yeah,
and the remake that they've shown, like, they're going like pseudo realism with how it looks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but the old one was kind of stylized and almost looked like Aladdin. Like, it was the best Aladdin game that wasn't an Aladdin licensed game.
Yeah. That's a fair comparison. I'm looking at some video right now. The old game, well, the interesting thing about this, I have a friend at Ubisoft, and he reminded me of this one day, that the engine that all the Assassin's Creed games use, including all the way up till today, they are all just evolved engines from this engine. This was the beginning of what will become Assassin's Creed. So they still bump up against some old tech that they have to kind of deal with in a modern way to make those games work. My guess is maybe they're going retrofit here and saying, well, now let's go back the other way and use what we've done or learned in the Assassin's Creed engine and build out this remake. It sounds like that's what you're describing.
That's kind of my concern. Like, it looks like a bad, like, fan-made Unreal version of Sands of Time. Yeah. Like all the textures are very literal and like just repeated patterns, and like the cloth is so clothy, and there's just no art.
How dare they make clothy cloth?
Yeah, clothy cloth.
Looking, like, he looks like he's wearing a picnic blanket. Like, it's that level of, like, I don't know, what does cloth look like? It has a grid sewn pattern, and we're just going to repeat that over and over and over again, and that's his shirt.
Yeah.
And it just bums me out. I'm like, no, like, go a complete other direction. Go wildly stylized. Make it look like a Pixar Sands of Time. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Why is this the direction you've decided to go? And and if you are going to go for that hyper-realistic version, like, make it look good. Because this is like, this ugly. Just seems like they got a toolkit of Unreal parts and just cobbled together a Sands of Time remake.
Yeah,
I got it. So I'm happy it's been delayed, because I was like, oh my god, the remake in Sands of Time, and there's a trailer out, and I went to watch, and I was like, ugh.
I got to say, I'm looking at footage and it looks, it's even the old game still looks pretty good. You know?
Yeah, the old one I think still holds up. And like, and I think if you like took that kind of like pseudo cartoony style and really ran with it, like I think you'd have something special.
Yeah.
Instead, they're going the other direction, which is like, I don't know, every hair on the dog, let's show it.
Yeah. Hey guys, I have an idea. Oh, is it about gameplay or whatever? No, I want to see every damn hair on this dog. So get to work. That's the meeting at Ubisoft this morning.
Scott, when you were a kid, did you draw people smiling and you drew each and every individual tooth and wonder why it looked like a nightmare at the end of it?
Yeah, that was one of the first things we learned in when I was in art school was stop trying to get every single detail right. And like detail's important, yeah, and detail can make or break an image, but the goal here is not photorealistic teeth, to use your example. The goal here is to have the person look at a face and just know that that's a face and the teeth don't distract you. It's just part of their face. And I don't know, there's a hard lesson there. And games sometimes don't know their own, they don't know that lesson. And maybe that's what they're screwing up here with. I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to be open-minded about this one because I'm so fond for that original. I really want it to be good. So
yeah,
I'm ready to stab some fools and help my lady friend or whoever. Isn't that the deal? She's a, you got to save the princess.
Oh yeah. It's total like, you know, as a teenager at the time, it was like the perfect teenage romance storyline.
Yeah.
Where? Yeah. It was like the Goofy movie levels of cheesy tropey romance that was like directly aimed at like 13-year-old me.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear I'm not the only person that likes that Goofy movie. I like it.
Goofy movie's great, dude. Yeah. That have you? Well, yeah.
I saw it recently. I saw it with Van the other day. It's great. Holds up. It's very 90s. Everything about it is 90s as hell. But it's a good time. I had fun with it.
We went masked up last year around Halloween, and we saw like three people casually cosplaying Powerline. So yeah, it's kind of popular still.
That's amazing. Oh, Powerline. Oh my gosh. Part of me thinks that Joss didn't give an opinion on that movie because she knows that this is a dumb movie. It's not that good, but I like it.
Like, okay, so this is like the third time in maybe a week that the Goofy movie has come up in my life, and I don't understand why. Like, and it wasn't even Garrett before. Like, it just...
I've never seen it.
I don't understand.
What do you think the universe is trying to tell you right now?
Maybe I need to go watch the Goofy movie. It was a whole conversation I had with my Dead by Daylight friends about spray cheese, which is apparently a thing you have.
Yeah. This movie is a cultural touchstone for 90s kids. Like, yeah,
okay,
it is.
This is one of those movies that I was stupid excited to see, and I remember renting it from Blockbuster and like my mom being like, I'm gonna go do chores because I would rather die than watch this movie. And at some point my mom ended up sitting down and laughing her ass off. This is like a really strong childhood memory for me.
And I will tell you, as somebody who is a father of a, let's see, this year, what year did this come out? This came out in 95. I had a 1 year old. And I was in total dad mode, right? So everything's kind of heartstringy when you watch it in dad mode and you have new little kids or whatever. But for whatever reason, this movie was like super like emotional for me. Like I got really emotional about the whole, you know, Sam and his dad. Is it Sam? Sam. No, wait. What's the name of the kid? Max. Max and Goofy's relationship. It was actually really good. It was like a really heartfelt kind of fathery son-daughter kind of, there were lessons in there is what I'm saying. It's
so
great.
So what you mean is that we need a Goofy movie remake.
Yeah. Well, there was a sequel. No, there was a college sequel. Did you ever see that?
As is.
You saw the sequel though, right? Garrett, there was a sequel. It was called,
But I mean, do you watch Disney sequels? Cause I avoid them on purpose.
Well, they were both made straight to video. They weren't theatrical anyway, right? So they were.
The first one I want to say was in theaters.
Was it? I don't remember.
I thought the first one was in theaters.
Someone's going to write in and correct all this stuff. So please do. We'd love to hear it.
We watched it on home video originally. So
yeah. I don't know. That's where it always was for us. Well, well done, everybody. We'd love to hear your thoughts, by the way, via email on this topic today. And also read this one from you.
Hello there.
We got one from Conquer John, who wrote into the instance at gmail.com and said, "Hey, Instance crew, love the direction the show is taking, and thanks for getting me all hooked on ESO over the last week. Jocelyn and Scott comparing it to a single player game really pulled me in." I have heard this, by the way, from numerous people. The single player aspect that we talked about really resonated. And people are like, oh, I didn't thought about that. I don't have to get in there and just jam my way to Max. Yeah.
Well, so, everyone's waiting for Elder Scrolls 6, right? And they're like, oh, when that comes out, I'm going to be all over it. And it's like, yeah, but you could go and play an Elder Scrolls experience solo right now.
Right.
And I think because it's an MMO and it has those multiplayer options to it, people don't realize that there's enough single player questing to, you know, use up your time.
Yeah, totally agree. I think
a thing that I failed to kind of describe last week was, like, I know I said that I was surprised when I first played it by how much of an Elder Scrolls game it plays. Yeah. Like, I had assumed it was another tab targeting MMO. Mm.
Right.
Like, when I heard Elder Scrolls, I'm like, cool, another tab targeting MMO in a world I don't love as much as Azeroth. Whatever, I'll ignore its existence.
Sure.
And then when I finally went around to play it, because I think years after its release, Joss, you were going off about it. I was like, oh, I'll go. It's like $3 and a taco on Steam. I guess I'll pick this up. And played it. And I was like, oh my God, it's just straight up Elder Scrolls Combat. Like, it is Elder Scrolls Combat, which is a good or a bad thing, depending on your opinion of Elder Scrolls Combat. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a little janky, but like, I don't know. Like, yeah, like I mentioned last week, once I kind of like learned to let my imagination smooth over the jankiness of Bethesda games, I had a really good time with Bethesda games.
Yeah, and they really tighten that up so it feels less, the jank doesn't feel as prominent in the MMO, and some would say that's a bad thing, and I actually think it's a good thing. It really refines how it feels, how it controls, and all of that. But yeah, like if you're looking for story and progression, it's there for you, and you don't have to see another human being ever again if you don't want to. The game knows this, and it leans into it. It doesn't try to pretend like these are, story lights or whatever. There's like real story, like deep stuff, and it's all voiced and acted. And yeah, there's a lot there. So I'm glad that resonated with people. He goes on to say, my question is this. That wasn't even his question. Here's his question. He says, have you noticed that pretty much all video games have aspects of RPG games in them now? Like all of them. Not really a question that needs answering, but would love to hear your thoughts from Conker John. Well, I wonder if that means he likes that.
I got news for you.
Yeah.
Been happening a really long time.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, shooters didn't really get a taste of it till I'd say Modern Warfare. That's when things really flipped around.
Modern Warfare 2, I think, really kicked it into overdrive.
Oh, for sure, for sure. But this concept that you would get levels and that you would get perks and you would unlock stuff the more you played, like that was really unusual in like 04, 05, 06. They just didn't see it outside of RPGs.
In 2004, a little game called Need for Speed Underground 2 came out, and you had to level up and get gear for your car.
That's so cool. I love that. Put it in everything. This is a trend that I have fully embraced. I have no problem with it. Any kind of genre that pulls in these aspects instantly makes the game more compelling for me. And it's not going to be everybody. Some people just want to get in and do an arcade shooter and get out. And I get you. I feel you. Those exist. Thankfully, it's not like they've gone away, but progression in almost every game type in a, RPG style progression. And I don't mean all the trappings like this is yellow gear, this is purple gear. It doesn't have to go that far, but just, some of the basic precepts of D&D or of.
God, I know you've been playing Need for Speed Heat, and I love that the highest level of turbos they go from purple to orange. They're straight up legendary turbos in Need for Speed Heat.
They are. It's real dumb. Super dumb.
They use WoW rarity color grading. It's so funny.
Yeah, and this RPGification of video games in general, I think is a great trend. I mean, Jocelyn, you're going to find it in almost everything you play. Do you like that? Is it too much? Maybe? I don't know.
Well, actually, I was going to say, in general, I am a fan, but I think that you can also make a great game that doesn't have that kind of power progression, because for me, one of the games I spend a whole lot of time in is Sea of Thieves. And when you jump into that game, if you've been playing for 5,000 hours or 5 minutes, your character is just as powerful as everybody else in the game. Mm. And so it's just like fully like level playing field in terms of player power. Obviously, there's player skill that increases over time, but like there is no skill tree. Like you do not get better weapons. You do not get better gear. Like that's it. And you go in and you have fun and you can jump in with any of your friends. And you don't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff. There's levels, but it all the levels is just your reputation with the different like companies. And then you just have to like buy cosmetics basically, or you can buy things to, get better voyages to get more gold, but none of it has anything to do with player power. So even though most video games, I completely agree with the statement, most video games now have some sort of like tech tree leveling type system in them. I think that there's still ways to do games that are that don't have any of that, that are still super fun to play. And Sea of Thieves is such a great game.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have played all the Pirates of the Caribbean stuff, but oh man, so good.
Is it? I was wondering about that. I'm not usually a big one on tie-ins, but that intrigued me when I heard it announced.
So. I want to. I fell off of Sea of Thieves so quickly when it first came out. I was like, oh, this is shallow as hell. And just
it's
never
so much better now. It's so almost overwhelming with how many things there are to do.
They've been good with it. It feels like almost No Man's Sky level of fix it.
Mm-hmm. It gets compared to No Man's Sky a lot because of that.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's high praise.
That is high praise.
Did also, our favorite remake before we end this damn thing, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't think we.
Do we have a remake we want to see, you're saying?
No, like your favorite one that's actually out and you can go play.
Oh, that happened, remake-wise.
Mine's Resident Evil 2. Oh, that thing's insane.
That's a good call. That's a good call.
It's so well made.
Yeah, that's a good call. See, that's another example of don't just up-res that thing. You got to go all in, and they do that with their remakes. 3 was very good, too. In that same way.
Does it have fishing? Ask the chat room.
No fishing. Zero fishing.
Zombie fish. You gotta fish for those zombie fish. That'd be hard, because once you set the hook, you rip the jaw off. It's a total nightmare.
Well, Sea of Thieves still has the best water tech I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. Amazing. Yeah, what the heck? Can they sell that?
A lot of time out on the water. It's so legit.
Yeah, they need to, because everything else is so stylized and not simple, but you know, it's fine. But the water,
it has a style.
They should sell that water tech to all video game companies who need water in their video games and make a bundle. Forget about making money in the game. Sell
it. Everybody, you should be getting skeptical, because all Scott really wants is a Waterworld video game.
I do. Whatever. I won't lie. I would
very selfish.
I would
entirely self-serving.
I would play the. You know what? Here's Sea of Thieves, your next big event, Waterworld event. Make it happen. Let's get this going.
Let me pee on
all the islands.
Yep. There you have it. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Great stuff, everybody. Great discussion. I'd love to hear the feedback of the listeners. What are the games that you think succeeded at doing this? And what ones would you like to still see? What are you playing right now that's old and you've made it new again? We'd love to hear from you. Send those emails to theinstance@gmail.com. Before we get out of here, quick around the table about stuff people have going on. Jocelyn, anything happening in your end of the world you'd like to mention?
Nothing super crazy now that the word is out about this. So this is the biggest new thing for me. Thanks again for having me. It's been super awesome these past couple of weeks, and I'm really looking forward to doing the instance going forward.
Yeah.
But if you guys want to follow me, I'm on Twitter and Twitch at Joss Plays. That's J-O-C-E Plays.
Yep. Do follow her. She's awesome. And we're really glad to have you here. Garrett, the person I forgot to tell any of this to during the week, is there anything going on that you'd like to tell us, even though we didn't tell you about a thing?
I don't know, Scott. Is there anything going on you'd like to tell me about?
You knew it was coming. I just never confirmed it. And then I forgot.
Yeah. I found that so hilarious. I'm like legit stoked, Joss, that you're here permanently. I just find it hilarious that no one told me.
Yeah. Like did anyone remember to tell Garrett? No one did. Of you,
and no one said Jack. Yes, actually, Kyle and I are doing 2 uploads a week now. So we're doing Into the Nexus, the Heroes of the Storm podcast that you all know and hopefully love. And if you don't, just don't tell me. but now we're also doing a one extra upload a week of a major piece of gaming news. We'd originally fired it up because we were like, we're covering the Blizzard lawsuit every week. And so we're like, let's make something where we can talk about a major news so we can keep ITN about Heroes. And since there wasn't any major updates on the lawsuit this week, we sat down and had a fun chat about Diablo 2 Resurrected. And so that is up right now. And actually, the video version has a ton of visuals. So go check out youtube.com/AMOVETV. That's AMOVETV. And you'll see about a 30-minute video up there right now that's Kyle and I talking about, essentially, in our opinion, where Diablo 2 Resurrected is succeeding, where Warcraft 3 or 4 is just completely bungled everything.
Yeah.
So that's up right now, and we're going to be doing one of those a week. So you're going to get a double dose of Garrett and Kyle now.
Very nice. Go check that out, everybody. In the meantime, there's more stuff at frogpants.com. You can go there anytime and check out other stuff. Frogpants.com. Of course, theinstance.net is our website. Our support system's still in effect. If you want to back the show, it's a place to do it. Go to theinstance.net and do it. That Patreon coming soon. But we'd love your support in the meantime, and we'll make it easy for you to transition over when it happens. What else? That's it. Instant Show on Twitter, Scott Johnson, Garrett Art, Joss Plays, and more like this over at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.